Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Just like, it makes me like get kind of like teary thinking about, like, I was like, oh, I did it, you know? And I think I had told myself it wasn't possible, and almost by not, because it wasn't a goal anymore. And it, I took out the impossibility in a sense, because it wasn't even a part of the, my purview. And then seeing that it was possible, it just, I don't know. You just, It definitely turned everything upside down for me, you know, that not just in sport, but in life, that we set these limits and we abide by them. And why do we do that? You know, it's like, why do we abide by the limits? And I know there's in all things, there are some limits, right? At some point, I'm not going to be able to run an Olympic qualifying time. I mean, when I'm 60 years old, I mean, I get it, you know, there are limits, but I think we put our limits on sooner than we should, right? Or in ways that we should not. And I think that's the point, is that we make it way more difficult to achieve things than we should. And so I don't know if there's anything that I've learned. It's, you know, when there really are possibilities to achieve things, to not allow myself to shut those doors.
Women's running. Women's running stories.
I'm Brianna Bamer. I live in Boulder, Colorado. I'm actually a Colorado native, one of the few left, I think. And I currently, while I do have ambitions and do a lot in the running space, I have been forever a small business entrepreneur, and so I do a lot in that space. And currently I'm a part of a small business after a social good cause called Goodie Bag. And we're a surplus marketplace where we connect local restaurants, cafes, bakeries, perfectly good unsold food to consumers that are willing to purchase that food for pickup at a discounted price. So that's what I kind of do in my day to day.
Yes, this episode features Brianna Bamer, who, when she's not doing the cool work of food rescue, is focused on being a competitive marathon runner. But before we hear more from Brianna, I want to welcome you to Women's Running Stories, the podcast where women share stories about their running experiences. I am Cherie Louise Turner. I am your host and producer, and this podcast is a proud member of the Evergreen Network of Podcasts. Now on to Brianna's story, which she shared with me not too long ago on December 5th. A few details to know before we get started here. You're going to hear reference to qualifying times to get into the Olympic Trials Marathon. In 2020, that time was 2 hours 45 minutes. It dropped for the 2024 edition of the trials to 2 hours 37 minutes. A woman marathoner has to run that time or faster to be able to race in the trials, which determines who goes to the Olympics. The top three make the team, fourth is an alternate. You're also going to hear Brianna mention CIM, which is the California International Marathon. This race takes place in early December, and it is a place where athletes come to set PRs and qualifying times because it is well known for being a fast course. And yes, the 2023 edition of CIM just took place on December 3rd, and it was a last chance opportunity for runners to qualify for the 2024 Olympic Trials Marathon, which will be happening in February in Orlando, Florida. Also to know here is that Brianna's first competitive sport was running, which she did through college. And then after graduation, she became a competitive triathlete, eventually working up to racing the Ironman distance, which involves swimming 2.4 miles, cycling 112 miles, and then running the distance of a marathon, 26.2 miles. Brianna was competing in Ironman races up until COVID hit. Everything changed in 2022 when Brianna decided to return to focusing only on running. And now, Brianna is currently sponsored by the women's running clothing company Wazelle as part of their Underbirds project, which is a really cool program. It's a limited contract to help formerly unsponsored runners with support up through the 2024 Olympic Trials Marathon. For Brianna, this journey has not gone to plan, and that is the focus of this episode. It centers on making a tough decision, navigating the disappointment and fear that come along with that decision, and the importance of unwavering support. Here to tell the story is Brianna Bamer. Beginning with her return to focusing on running only, at the age of 42, after her long career in triathlon, here is Brianna.
Yeah, so when the pandemic hit, I mean, it's kind of funny how, I mean, for so many people, it changed things for them. And for me, it changed a huge outlet, which was sport. It's always been something for me that I've done and have had a level of commitment to for just personal, like what I see as like a personal like goal to see what I can do with my body. And I'm not actually a very competitive person, like naturally. Like I don't go to a race and think like, oh, I want to beat people. I literally just want to see how fast I can go and see what I can do. And I've always really loved trying to get the best out of myself. And that's sport, business, school. That's always been my goal. And so triathlon was a great challenge for me. But when the pandemic hit, pools were closed, races were canceled. All the aspects of triathlon were just gone. And truth be told, I'm a runner by trade. Like that is my first quote unquote sport that I truly dedicated myself to. And I really didn't like swimming. I hated swimming, actually. I would go to the pool sometimes and literally sit in the car and contemplate if I should get out to get in the pool. I mean, I just hated it so much. And so when the pandemic hit, I was like, it was almost like this, like, oh, I can't swim. And so I decided to just do what I love, which is run. There's nothing, you know, like I don't have any races that I have to do these other events for. I'm just going to run. I also, in my mind, starting running, it wasn't like there's any ambitions of like, oh, I'm going to run times that I used to run when I was in my 20s. You know, I just wanted to run because I was already in my 40s. And so that's what I did. I literally would just wake up every day. I mean, obviously, since there were no races, it wasn't like I had a plan of, you know, having to do certain intervals or go a distance. I would just literally run as much as I felt like, go to places that I hadn't run before. I was doing trail running. I was just running. And it filled me up so much. I realized how much I truly miss just running. And through the process of that, I was starting to get like much fitter just at running. And I started to, you know, just do workouts here and there. And I'd be like, oh, wow. Like I'm running paces and efforts that I haven't in years, in decades. I mean, I honestly, some of the workouts I would do as I started to get more and more fit, I couldn't believe it. You know, like it was one of those things where I think partially when we remove all of the expectations and rules around things, I think any competitive athlete can tell you, you know, I ran in college and I ran around some incredible athletes who became Olympians. And there are just standards and expectations that are always there, like splits you need to hit and things you need to do. And yeah, it's like there's a point at which you have an appreciation for what that is. And you just, my brain doesn't go to like that being something that's possible anymore. Right. And so to realize that when you take away expectations and like these kind of rules around what you're supposed to be doing, and you just focus on, I mean, I know it sounds super cheesy, but it really is true. You just focus on what you're enjoying about the moment and doing what your body's telling you is best at that time. It's amazing what happens. And so I was like, I've been running. I kind of want to just run a marathon. I've never run an open marathon. That'd be kind of fun, you know, because I've always run it. I literally had always run it off of 112 miles of biking. And so I really had no intention except that I just wanted to try to run a marathon. And I honestly didn't have a time in my mind either. I had no expectations whatsoever of what I was going to achieve with running it. And, you know, when I ran CIM in 2021, this was my first time like racing a marathon. And I remember being like, how fast can I actually run for 26 miles? Like, I don't know. Like, this will be really interesting. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, I haven't actually run like a really hard 26 miles in training, you know? So there was that same kind of like, I have no idea what I'm going to be doing. I'm just going to like run what feels comfortable and see if I can hold it, you know? And that was like, that was it. I was just going to enjoy and see what I could do. And it was a shock. Like I remember coming towards the finish. You know, here's what's so funny. As I was running, I'm a metronome when I race. So like once I hit a certain like pace, I kind of like, I'm really good at holding it. And so once I kind of found my rhythm, if you were to look at my splits from the race, it was like 551, 552, 551, 553. Like, I mean, it was just all like the same. It didn't matter if there was a hill, a downhill, whatever. It's like just a metronome, right? And so, and I remember like at mile 8, like there's some girls that came and just like took off. And I was like, oh, I can't do that. And so I just let them go. And I was just like, just doing my thing. And I ended up catching like a bunch of them later in the race. And then as I was going, I'm like clicking off people. And I remember someone telling me like, oh, you're in 9th place. Oh, you're in 8th place. And my favorite number is 7. And 7th place was like just a little bit. I was like, I have to get 7th. Like in my brain, I like wasn't even thinking about the time. I did not realize what I was running. I was like, oh, I really need to get 7th. That's my favorite number. And so like, I see this girl in front of me who's 7th and I'm just going as hard as I can to like get her. And I got her right at the end, like sprinted past her with like a couple hundred meters to go to get 7th place. And then as I look up, I'm like, oh my God, it says 2:33. Like what did I just run that? You know what I mean? Like cause the math was not like, I was not in my brain going, oh, 5:51s. It's going to be this time, right? Like I just, you know, I was just running my race and enjoying and making sure I got my water and, you know, and then silly things like, oh, I really would like to get 7th place, you know? Like, so yeah, it was one of those things when I finished and I see the time and I'm like, wait, that's not what I expected, you know? So yeah, it was a surreal moment. That first experience, like you want to recreate, because once you've done something that exceeds your expectations, for sure, there is this like, oh gosh, like, is that the best it's going to be? Am I ever going to be able to recreate that? That almost like that novelty and that innocence of no expectations. And literally nobody knew who I was. I mean, I barely got into the elite field. My coach helped me get in. I remember going into the corral and like I had this like makeshift bib and they were like, oh, you're not allowed in here. I'm like, no, I am, you know? And, you know, it's like, nobody knew who I was. Like, it just, you know, it was just like that whole, and then I ended up running what I did, setting a master's record and placing 7th, you know, like it was just that whole just experience of just zero expectation from every end, including myself, you know? And there was in the back of my mind, like, okay, there's always this 2-year qualifying window for the Olympic trials. And a dream of mine, you know, for various reasons has been like, I just want to participate in the Olympic trials. And the marathon kind of in the back of my mind was like, well, that's the one that I could actually maybe, you know, because it's not like the track where it's so limited how many people can actually participate. I was like, maybe I could. And when it was 2:45, I was like, yeah, I think I can do that. You know, there's always a 2-year window. So like CIM, I was like, would be the start of like a 2-year window. And so, you know, my coach and I were like, well, maybe, you know. So yeah, when I ran it in 2021, like there was a thought, maybe if I hit a good time, maybe that would qualify me. And so when I ran what I ran, I was like, oh my gosh. And then they announced that the window was going to start January 1st instead. So Womp womp. Darn. And I mean, that wasn't really 100% my goal with that rate. Like, honestly, like, if I had really had that as my goal, I mean, that was like that secret goal that I was like, oh my gosh, Brianna, that's kind of crazy. Like, you're never actually going to, I mean, you're too old. You know, like in my mind, I'm just like, I'm past my prime. Like, this is for fun. I'm just going to see what you can do. And you're too old. So there, you know, if I really, really had been like, no, I really want to qualify for the Olympic trials, then I would have waited until I heard when the window opened. But, you know, that's why in part, like, signed up for this race just seemed like a great race to do a debut at and see what I could do. I lost my mom when I was really young. And I say this just because I think it's an important part of just where I've developed my drive. And my dad worked a lot, so he wasn't home a lot. So I was alone a lot. And I always just had these like times where I was like, I want to be something. I want to do something great. I want to get out of this situation where I feel so alone and I don't know, I guess like unnoticed, right? And I don't know why, but, you know, so it definitely manifested in school. I was, you know, the straight A student. I was in the international baccalaureate program and got that diploma and, you know, did all those things. And I think it's just this sense of needing to achieve and get somewhere, like, you know, not be in this like solitary space. And my dad was a tennis coach, a Division I tennis coach. And so I grew up watching tennis. And at first I was like, I'm going to be a tennis player. I'm going to be this great tennis player. And oh my gosh, was I terrible. No hand-eye coordination. but I couldn't find a sport that I was good at. When I found running and it was something I was good at, you know, I ended up winning a state title and getting a scholarship. And when I was able to start to run with people that were also at a high level, there's something in my brain that was like, hey, maybe you could do something here that was special, that would make you feel, you know, like you had accomplished something. And the Olympic trials was that thing, right? You know, it's just something that, you know, you watch, like, I was enamored by the Olympics. I don't know why, but just like the stories behind it and the difficulty. I loved how difficult it was. You know, I've always really, for some reason, gravitated towards like, this is not easy, not everyone can do it kind of thing. And so wanting to see if I could and being okay if I didn't, you know, but just like, can I? And so, you know, because I found a little bit of a niche in running and I was able to compete with people who were at a higher level, I started to think, well, maybe I can go to Olympic trials, you know, and I did end up running with people who went to not just Olympic trials, but to Olympics, you know? And so when you see people that you ran with do these things, there are, and I think that's why we need people of all different types and backgrounds to show us what's possible. Because when you do see people that you were around that you, you know, could, you know, for running, you know, train with, you think, well, maybe I could do that, you know? And so it just was something that ever since I was a little girl, I don't know, there's for some reason sport and achieving in sport was something that in the back of my mind, I always thought, oh, that'd be really cool. Like I had this like vision board that I made where I had, you know, an Olympian on there and like the 15 minutes for the 5K written down and things like that, where I was like, someday I can do this, you know? And then, you know, you start to have things happen where you're like, okay, that was a little bit too aggressive of a dream. You know, you think, no. And I mean, certainly as I got older, I mean, then it's like, no, obviously this is not going to happen, but it was fun to try, you know, like the idea of the Olympic trials was long past in my brain.
Brianna had let go of that Olympic trials dream, but that changed when she ran well under the marathon Olympic trials standard at that 2021 CIM. Now that dream was well back in play. The challenge, however, was to run a qualifying time within the qualifying window, which had opened on January 1st, 2022. She has, however, experienced a series of setbacks ever since that CIM in 2021.
The unfortunate reality of, I think, my history, and it's something that now I really want to try to figure out, is I am injury prone. And ever since then, I've dealt with injury. And so like 2022 hurt my left hamstring, was able to get in a handful of weeks of training before the Berlin Marathon, but definitely was not, you know, I mean, when I say handful, I mean, literally 3 weeks of training before Berlin, and ran 2:45 off of like nothing. That was painful. It was so painful. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go out at the pace that I want to try to, you know, to try to get the trials time and just see if I can hold it, because why not? And my body was like, hi, at mile, you know, like 12, you haven't been running on pavement. We don't know what you're trying to do here. And slowly but surely, my muscles just stopped working. And I was able to finish, but it was just absolutely the hardest thing I think I've ever done. And so then after that, by running that, now I wasn't injured at the time, but I ran it when I wasn't ready. And I hurt myself again and have basically been hurt ever since. And so, yeah, I hurt my other hamstring, my right hamstring. And I've been trying to rehab that and had kind of gotten it to a spot that it was like manageable. And I think that was still like compensating and trying to get fitness that I felt I needed to run the time. A week out from CIM this year, my shin on the side that my hamstring, my right hamstring was hurt, just swelled up like crazy. And I could barely like put pressure on it for a few days, and then I could walk okay, but could not run. And I think it just, yeah, me trying to do all the things, and it was a lesson learned. I think when you get into the other kind of piece, when you get into the elite world, that I kind of saw when I was in college running at a Division I level, but had never experienced until I got into it now, you know, at this like high level of running post-collegiate, is seeing how much people do and at the intensity at which they do it. You know, people running 120 miles a week and running these crazy workouts that you're just like, oh my gosh. And in my brain, like when I ran 2:33, I didn't do any of that. I just did the things that, you know, I mean, I did good training, but nothing crazy, you know, nothing so just like, whoa. And I started to think I needed to do those things, you know, that I, you know, like if I'm going to compete at this level, I need to start up in my game. I need to do more. And it's just, that's not for me. Again, that's not a rule that works for me. And what I need to go back to is what's going to get me to the best that I can be, and not look at the fact that a lot of these, I mean, I live in Boulder, Colorado. It's the Mecca, right? I mean, you can't turn the corner without seeing somebody who's super elite doing crazy stuff. And I just have to be okay with the fact that that's not something I can do, but that I can still run fast, you know, and I don't need to do that to run fast. That's not a rule, you know? And so I think also, you know, for the first time in my entire life, getting a true sponsorship, like feeling like I want to make these people proud. I want to do all that I can to be at that start line. And maybe, you know, if you look at the times that were run at CIM this past weekend, like I could have been right up there trying to win the race, you know, and in my brain thinking like, how can I do all these things? And I think it's so easy to do that when you're put into a place like I was, where I went from nothing to something and feeling like you now need to justify that you're there. You know, it's like that imposter syndrome that I've experienced as a female in business. I 100% experienced all of a sudden becoming a little bit more of a somebody in running. I mean, I'm not a 2:22 marathoner, but I became someone who could get somebody to sponsor me. And all of a sudden you're like, I need to make sure that I'm not a fraud, you know? And I think in that process, I probably dug a hole too big to get out of. Not intentionally, obviously, more so to want to like prove that I deserved where I was. So yeah, a week. So my hamstring had been not 100%, but I was like, you know, I'll be okay. And I felt like I could at least just run I'd run 2:33 and the time is 2:37. And that's a significant change in pace. And I felt confident that I had gotten in what I needed to sustain that type of pace. But, you know, I did one last little workout the weekend before the race, thinking that I just needed to feel pace a little bit more. And that's when my shin just blew up. And my coach and I, you know, it's crazy. The first thing he said to me was, "I don't think you should race." You know, and this was a week out from the race. He's like, "You know, let's look at the big picture here, Brianna. Like, do you want to go and do something that's going to make it so that you can never race again, or that you'll be out for an entire year? Like, that, you know, your window, you know, you see this as a last chance. It's not a last chance, but you can significantly close your window if you do something really stupid," which, I mean, we've all seen this, right? We've seen it with athletes who are stubborn and do something that really, really sets them back. And when my coach told me, I don't think you should be racing, my immediate response was like, no, I have to try. I have to try. This is my last shot. I owe it to myself. I owe it to the people who are supporting me. I don't want to let anybody down. I have to do this. Like, even if it's a few miles, you know. And he's like, "Well, but what if in 1 mile you like rip something, or, you know, like," and still in my brain, I was like, no, I won't run. I'll ice it. Everything's going to be fine. And as the days went, and it literally was not getting any better, I thought, what is going to happen? You know, and you know what, the CIM course, the very first mile is like this downhill to a pretty sharp uphill. What if I tear something in the first mile, 1 mile, just run 1 mile, you know, and then I can't run for another year? And that started to become more and more real as the days went. And I still in my mind thought, well, anything can happen. Every morning I'm going to wake up, see how it feels, hold hope. But I think the reality is, as the week went, was, wow, this could really be a stupid thing to do. And what is more important, you know? And I mean, truthfully, I was weighing how scary it would be to not race with how scary it would be to race and really do damage. And I mean, I'm not kidding when I say how scary it is to not race and have to tell people and then deal with everything afterwards was weighing pretty heavy, you know, like you just don't want to have to go through that, you know? And I thought, well, you know, like, what's the lesser of the two evils? Maybe I just, you know, I just do it and I gut it and maybe nothing will happen, you know? And that was something I was really having to grapple with. But when I woke up race morning and it hurt to walk to the bathroom still, and my leg was still super swollen, I just knew that I had to be brave and say, I can't race and suffer whatever quote unquote consequences that was going, just be brave. And it was more bravery to say, I'm not going to race. And honestly, for me, because I'm really bad with the thought of what people will think of me, that just has always been a struggle of mine. Like, what will people think of me? And that was such a hard thing to have to do, that it was harder than actually racing, you know, and going and just trying, was to say no to the dream, to all the people who are supporting me, and to like have to be prepared for what anybody was going to say. Even though it seems so silly, like when you really step back, you're like, oh, Brianna, it's just a race. Like, this is just a race. But to you at that moment, it's like your reality. It's everything you've been putting so much energy in. I mean, my job, I get up really early to train so that I can still get to work by like 8 a.m., you know, and I'm working a lot. And so there's just so many sacrifices, right? And so you just in your brain go through all of that to come to this decision, and you just don't want to have to deal with all of the consequences. It's, you want to hide. Like, I wanted to hide. And I literally, when I was like, I can't do this, I told my husband first. He was with me, obviously, in the room. And I'm like, there's, you know, obviously there's no way. And then I called my coach to talk to him, and he's like, yep, 100%. Like, this is the right thing to do. He's like, you're going to be okay. So supportive. And then I messaged Justine, who is the kind of athlete coordinator for Wazelle. And then I hid, you know, so it's like, I told the people I needed to tell, you know, it's like, talk to my husband, tell my coach, confirm with him that he agrees that this is a good choice. And then tell, you know, my sponsor. And the race director. I immediately messaged Danielle to let her know, you know, obviously that I was not going to be at the start because I wanted to make sure she knew. So those were the people that I told. And then I kind of like buried myself under the covers. And then I thought, oh, I got to get out of this room. So I went across the street into the park and just sat in a bench, you know, because I just was like, what am I going to do? And how am I going to have to deal with people? Like, are people going to be mean? Are they going to think I'm weak? Are they going to think I'm taking something for granted? And all those things aren't true. You know, it was the hardest thing to have to try to say, no, I know that if I do this, the consequences to my body could be really bad. Literally it's, when I think back at it, it's like my leg is still swollen. You know, it's kind of purpley blue because it's super bruised and I have no idea what I did, but you know, like, I know that it would have been absolutely idiotic to try to race, but that doesn't take away from all those feelings that you're trying to like navigate at that moment, you know?
Brianna had made her decision. It was smart and necessary, but it was also really disappointing. She wasn't going to be able to qualify for the trials within the qualifying window.
There's this part of me in my mind that is like, you did it. You ran that time. You deserve to be there. It's okay, you know, you're not going to, but you did do it, Brianna. And then there's a reality that like, you didn't actually do it because you did it too soon and you're not going to be there. Like you can't call yourself an Olympic trials qualifier. You did not do it. And that is like, I don't think I've fully processed that, you know, because it really, really has been like this dream that, you know, I never thought was possible. And all of a sudden it was. And now it's like not possible again, you know, but I shouldn't say it's not possible because sure, why not in 4 years? I mean, my coach is so great. He's like, 4 years, you're going to be there. You know, I mean, he's great. But right now, that's not reality, right? And it's going to be really hard. I'm so, like I said, I'm not a competitive person. So I'm so incredibly proud and just excited for all the women who have qualified and qualified on Sunday. It's just so cool to see. And that just continues to give me like hope and motivation. I just wish I was going to be there with them. So ultimately, I mean, as much as I wanted to be at the Olympic trials, I actually already really won with what has happened with Wazelle. I grew up alone without a family, really. It's really was my dad and I, and just not a lot of family. And I cannot tell you, it is the most humbling experience the last couple days to have the support that I've had. I have this like instant family. And I don't know how to explain how amazing it is. Like I think it's actually been harder for me to process that than the race day, is how to respond eloquently and fully to express how grateful I am for this outpouring. I mean, it has been nothing but positive, and people telling me that they appreciate what I did and that it inspires them what I did. And I mean, the idea of the Underbird, like when I applied for it, I remember thinking, there's no way I'm going to get this. I never, you know, I'm just not good enough, right? But on the flip side, I'm like, I'm like the ultimate Underbird. I've been trying and trying and trying. Little engine that could. And finally, you know, in my 40s, you know, it's like decades later. I mean, I can't tell you how many sponsorships I tried to get when I was in my 20s to see if I could somehow get to the Olympics, you know? And I mean, it was always a big fat no. I mean, it's very hard to get anyone to support you. And so when I try to step back, that alone, to be a part of this program with these amazing women who have been so supportive of the other Underbirds, I mean, instant family. And then the Wazelle community, instant family. I mean, it is just, I cannot describe it. And I know I had a fellow triathlete who's a professional reach out to me and say, she's like, you do know how rare this is. She's like, I've never had a sponsor be this supportive. And I'm like, oh, believe me, I do. It also partially breaks my heart that I couldn't make, I feel like I want to make them proud. I mean, I hope my decision is making them proud. And I know that's how they've, you know, like continued to, you know, spread that message to me that they're so proud of my decision and everything that I've done. But there's still that part of you that's like, but I want to wear that uniform and cross that line running this time for you. You know, like there's that feeling of like, you've believed in me in a way that I never thought someone would believe in me. And I just want to say thank you, you know. But yeah, it's okay. And I think that's, you know, eventually there's going to be another moment. And I want to hold true to what I actually have said, which is that it's never too late. And it really is true. Like I taught myself that, and it's not too late for me to still achieve times in my brain that I know I can do. Like I know I can run faster than 2:33. I know I can. And so I'm going to try to do that. And I may never get to go to the Olympic trials, but gosh darn it. Like there are things that I can still do that are things that I thought I couldn't do that actually I know I can. And I think we have to remember that even in these moments where it didn't quite work out is to not just immediately go, well, that sucks, and be really bummed about it and give up. Because that's, I think that would be the worst outcome of it all, right? So I have to hold true to what I've said and lead by example and say, you know what, you know, the Underbird, okay, I'm not going to be an official one now. Like I don't get to compete in Olympic trials, but that doesn't mean that all those dreams that Wazell saw that I was going after are gone. And so, I mean, I have this, you know, uniform that I'm hoping, and the Underbird program is for the Olympic trials, but, you know, I'm supposed to run in the Elite Field of Boston in April. And I'm like, okay, Brianna, you go back to the training, you know, that you need to do and just cut out all the nonsense. And you go to that race and you wear that uniform and you say, thank you, you know, and you have a race where you can say thank you to all the support and all the people, because it's been just so heartwarming. And I wish that level of support to anybody, you know, because that's really what it's about. You know, like, no, I won't be there in February, but oh my gosh, did I win in getting a family that I just honestly have never experienced. I just, yeah. And we should all have that.
I also wish that kind of support for us all. That does bring us to the end of Brianna Bamer's story on the podcast. I want to thank Brianna so much for coming on the podcast to tell this story, truly. I fully recognize that asking someone to share such a big disappointment, especially so soon after it happened. I mean, we talked 2 days after she had decided not to run CIM. I know it wasn't easy, but this is such an important story because this happens in running, and way too many of us run when we know we shouldn't. And this is what it looks like to choose wellness over risking long-term damage when the stakes are really high. So yes, thank you, Brianna, for being courageous in making the right choice and sharing the whole story in public. I, of course, wish you a very speedy recovery and look forward to cheering very loudly when you're good to go again. I also want to thank Wazell, and in particular, Justine Fedronic, for connecting me to Brianna. Wazell is an exceptional leader in the running world. I know that you, like me, will want to keep up with Brianna, and of course, I will provide links to how you can do that in the show notes. I will also provide links to the Underbird Project and to Wazell. And I will link to the story of Brianna's Underbird teammate, Ari Hendricks, who was recently featured on Women's Running Stories. Thank you so much for being here. I always appreciate it. I love making these episodes, but I know that the power of them rests in you listening and also in you sharing. I would really appreciate if you shared the podcast with somebody else who you think would enjoy these stories too. And I do not make these episodes by myself. Cormac O'Regan creates all the original music for Women's Running Stories, and he does that from his studio here in Cork, Ireland. And that is going to do it for me. I am Cherie Louise Turner. I am your host and producer, and I am coming to you from my home closet studio, also here in Cork, Ireland. And until next week, I do wish you healthy, joyful strides forward. Women's Running, Running, Running. Running stories.
Hear Her Sports is a podcast for everyone who loves stories by and about women striving to improve and make a difference in their lives. I am your host, Elizabeth Emery, a former professional cyclist. In every episode, I introduce a female athlete or woman in the business of sport through a thoughtful conversation about who they are and the terrific work they're doing. My guests and I explore the glorious and frustrating issues in sports, history, equity, training, nutrition, and so much more. Join us for inspiration, for community, and for love of being a strong athletic woman.